Morning. I'd like to start off by saying thank you again for having my family down. As you can tell, we're short-handed today. Mama's in Alaska, Cassidy's in Alaska, Carolina's with Grandma, and I got the boys. But thank you for allowing us to be back. And it's okay if you laugh at me. My boy's been making fun of me for 2 days now. I got this white spots right here. I wear sunglasses. I work out in the sun. So if you're laughing at me, I understand. I was kind of got a laugh out of myself when I was getting dressed this morning. Colton said, "Are you going to go to church like that?" I said, "Either that or put the glasses on." He said, "Just go with it, Dad." Well, again, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you again for having us back. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. I would like to say a big thank you as well to all of you who have served our country. I don't take that for granted. I have a lot of family that are actively serving our country and a lot of family that have passed on, that have served our country. But I'm thankful all the same to each and every one of you. So thank you if you have done that. We love you. 1 John chapter number 1. Let's pray this morning, then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word, for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this group of believers, these men and women, Lord, who have faithfully gathered this morning, Lord. Not because they have to, Lord, no doubt because they want to be here. And Lord, I thank you for people that still want and desire fellowship with the Lord, as we're going to talk about this morning. I thank you so much for the desire you have to fellowship with us. And Lord, may we as believers learn to desire to have fellowship with you, our Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, I ask you, Lord, this morning, Lord, cleanse me of sin. Lord, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Allow me to preach and teach, Lord, with clarity. Lord, Lord, just come in. Have your way this morning. Lord, touch the minds and hearts of these people. Lord, get me out of the way. Let them hear your voice. Lord, I just want to be a vessel. Lord, just be with us now. Holy Spirit, come in. Have your will and your way. Lord, if today, Lord, someone may be here that don't know you, Lord, though we're not teaching on salvation right now, but no doubt, Lord, you said your word will not return void. I have no doubt your Spirit is capable of convicting unto salvation. I pray you do that, Lord. If someone's here, they don't know you, Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. And Lord, we'll sure thank you and praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1 says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was the Father, or which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, what's the next word, church? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. Ain't you thankful that you're able to fellowship with the Father this morning? Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for God the Father, but I'm so thankful that He sent Jesus. And more than that, I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to do the will of the Father so that we could have that fellowship this morning. And these things, verse 4, and these things write we unto you, here it is, church, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I'll say it again. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for that? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Go over to Psalm chapter number 16. Hold your place there. We'll be right back. Psalm chapter 16. I want to look at one verse. I want to talk a little bit this morning about our joy and our fellowship. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Look at this phrase right here, church. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'll say it again. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Here we have David the psalmist making a statement. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, how many would agree that David is a dude that's been around a lot of different things? He's been around war. He's been around sin. He's been around women. He's been around drunkenness. He's been around rebellious children. He's been on the battlefield. He's been off the battlefield. He's been in the kingdom. He has nice things. He has probably a lot of money. He has a lot of heartache. Sound familiar? Sounds like us. We have a lot of stuff. But you know what David came to conclude? Is that where my joy is in the presence of the Lord. He didn't say in this world is fullness of joy. Listen, sin is pleasurable for a season. When we go out and we do things that are wrong and it feels real good. And by the way, we wouldn't do it if it didn't feel good. We wouldn't be so deceived by Satan if it didn't look good, if it didn't feel good, if it didn't bring us some sort of fleshly benefits. It'd be easy to just say no. But here's what we like to say. You know, we can choose our choices, but man, we can never choose our consequences. You know, David had been through a lot, but what he came to conclude was, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Think about Solomon, what he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know what he was saying, church? He was saying that all these things that I lived for, the money, the riches, the fame, the girls, the drugs, the alcohol, you name it, put your sin in there. All these things, at the end of it, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. All that mattered was God. And church, can I say this morning, it's the same for us. What you're putting before the Lord today is vanity. What if we had David's mentality? In thy presence is fullness of joy. Did you know, as Christians, your joy should be full? Your joy has the capability of being full. Our joy as a Christian has never and will never come from hanging out with the world. In thy presence is fullness of joy. To be in the presence of the Lord, go back to 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To be in the presence of the Lord, we must desire fellowship. Now, the word desire, that means you really, really gotta want it. Something that, now how many are married in here? Good, most of us, praise the Lord. Now, don't lie. There's times, you know, think back to when you first met your husband or you first met your wife. Do you remember that burning desire to be with them? No matter what. I mean, I remember I was 17, Crystal was 20, and I remember having a curfew that I went over often because she lived in Monroeville and I lived all the way back over here in Lizard Lope off Highway 84 on this end, and I had to be home at 10 o'clock. Well, I learned that if I had a little heavier foot from Monroeville all the way back over here, I could spend just a few extra minutes with her. But then I learned, you know, maybe I'll just show up at 10:15. And I'm willing to suffer the consequence because I desired to be with her. I was willing to risk some things because I wanted and desired to be with my wife or with my future wife. Hey, I wonder what you're willing to give up or to risk to be with the Lord. I wonder how much you really desire to spend time with God. There's things in our life, you hear it said like this, if you look at the end of your day and you haven't had time to open your Bible and you haven't had time to pray and you haven't had time to, you know, even mention God, you're too busy. You don't desire God. To have that full joy, you must desire the relationship with Jesus. And I'm not talking about the get out of hell free card that you got that he paid for at salvation. I'm talking about the relationship. I'm talking about getting to know him. Imagine being married to your spouse and never spending time with them,
never giving them a moment at the end of the day to listen to what they might have to say to you so you can learn something about them. That's how God works. You must have a desire to spend time with Him. Church, don't confuse relationship and fellowship. Fellowship is dependent on your desire. Fellowship is dependent on your desire. That relationship is a cause of what He done. Most Christians do not desire fellowship with the light. Remember, we said God is light. Now, why would a Christian not desire fellowship with the light? Can I tell you something, church? Here's what I learned in my own life. Why I chose for 3 or 4 years of my elder teenage life and into my young adult life to not really seek the Lord. I'll tell you why. It's because every time I came to a point where I was like, okay, I'm gonna pray. I'm going to start reading my Bible again. You know what happened? Darkness started getting exposed in my life. Can I tell you something, church? God hates sin. He hates it. But He loves the sinner. And He loves you so much, here's what happens. You start reading your Bible, and all of a sudden, that thing that you got in your life comes to the surface, see? And God says, hey, if you really desire a relationship with them, remember, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if you really want to have that relationship that you're capable of having with the light, let me expose some things in your life. And can I say something, church? God can't make you get rid of that. He gives you a choice. You got to ask yourself this question: what's more important, my fleshly desires or God? What's more important? If I'm really going to be the dad that I need to be, how many daddies we got in here? Praise the Lord for daddies. Father's Day is coming up soon. How many mamas we got in here? Mother's Day is gone, but praise the Lord for mamas too. Can I tell you something? If you really want to be the mom and you really want to be the dad that God wants you to be, and by the way, why would you ever want to short your babies of something that you're capable of giving them? You know, you could be a much better daddy. You could be a much better mother. Not that you're not good moms and dads, but I can tell you this, I could be a much better daddy. I could be a much better husband. How? Desiring a relationship with the one who created me. Desiring a relationship with the one who created and knows my children better than I do. Hello? I don't know about you, but there's been many times where circumstances will happen. And you know how you've been parents for a long time. You know your kids are doing something they shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden God will just, you know, kind of give you the unction to go check on them. You know that feeling? And you know they weren't going to tell you they were doing wrong. They already got their siblings conned into like, hey, I'll give you a buck if you don't tell mom and dad what I'm doing. I know you know, but keep your mouth closed. But then God says, hey, why don't you get up and go check on your son? And you catch him. Why is that? Because you got a relationship with someone who loves that boy so much more than you'll ever love him. Listen, what if you weren't in fellowship with the Lord and your children are suffering because of it? What if you weren't in fellowship with the Lord, men, and your wives are suffering because of it? Ladies, what if you weren't in fellowship with the Lord and your husbands and your babies are suffering because of it? Can I tell you something? That's the devil's job. To steal, to kill, and to ultimately destroy you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love your husband. He doesn't love your wife. He hates your kids. You know where he wants to see your kids? Out there in the graveyard somewhere. 6 foot under. Why? Because if he can take them out, they're nothing for the cause of Christ anymore. Listen, guys, ladies, desire fellowship with the Lord. Desire to have fellowship with the Lord. When that darkness is exposed, let the light do its job. To enjoy fellowship with someone, listen to this, you must have something in common. You ever find yourself, you know, it kind of bothers me when I hear Christians say, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I'll go to church Sunday mornings, and I'll go to church Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I'll do all those things. I'll pay my tithe. I'll give to missions. But reading the Bible, don't you find that kind of boring? Hey, listen, I don't find it boring when I try to have common ground with the Lord. But let me tell you something. If you're out here living your life the way you want to, and every time you open this, it's telling you what you're doing is wrong, there's no common ground. Try to find some common ground. Here's a motto to live by. The Bible says, let God be true, and every man a what? A liar. So, that's all of us. You know what we are? We're just a bunch of liars. God is true. If the Bible says it, I ought to be okay with it. And if I'm not okay with it, guess what? Tough. You ever hear when you're growing up, mom and dad said, it doesn't matter why. Because I said so. If you don't like it, tough. I never once had my grandmother tell me, hey, I know you don't like what I'm telling you, and if you really don't like it, you don't have to agree with it. No. She said, you're going to agree with it one way or another. There's a nice peach tree out in the yard. We can go that route if you'd like to. Hey, have some common ground. To enjoy fellowship with someone, you must have something in common. God is not going to just magically start liking what you like. You have got to like what He likes to have His fellowship. Because can I say this, church? God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. God's not going to change who He is to conform to your image. We are supposed to be conforming to His image. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what our job is, to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How do I do that? I got to have some fellowship and some relationship with God. I got to know what the Bible says about that. You must conform to the image of Christ, not the image of this world. Here's one of my favorite ones. There must be a diagnosis of our flaws and our failures. How many of you ever had a car problem before or a truck problem? Now, picture this. You're driving down the road and it just starts sputtering, and all of a sudden you can't go over 45, and pretty soon it's down to 25, and pretty soon you're turning those forbidden flashers on and you're trying to get off the road, and now you're stuck. Now, is there a problem with the car? Now, how much sense would it make to say, you know what? There's not a problem. There's no problem here. This car was meant to only go 20 miles an hour. It was meant to cough and sputter and leak oil. It was meant to do that. That's how it was designed. Guys, do you know that's how we live our lives? That is what we do as Christians. We're meant to mess up. We're meant to do wrong. We're meant to just keep carrying on the same way. How much sense would it be to call a tow company, have your car towed to your house, and say, you know what? That thing will be all right tomorrow morning. When I get up for work, I know the car's going to be fine. Hey, you ever went to bed with your problem? Woke up thinking everything's going to be all right, but the problem was still there? What's the smart thing to do about the car? Number one, if you don't know how to diagnose it yourself, would you take your car to a chef to get diagnosed? Why? Where would you take your car? Why would we take it to a mechanic? Because that's his job. Hey, why would we, as men, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Why would we, as men and women, we call ourselves Christians. By the way, listen, that's a powerful term. Don't ever let someone tell you, oh, you're a Christian. Yes, you're right, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Be proud of that. That's nothing to be ashamed of. But taking my car to a chef would be like me as a Christian having marriage problems and going to my buddy at work who's been divorced twice asking him how I ought to treat my wife. Hey, where's the first place you go with your marriage problems? Some worldly counselor who's got the job because he's a marriage expert? How about the Bible? How about your pastor? Hello? Hey, I'm serious. You got to have a diagnosis and understand that we all do have flaws. But where you go to get your diagnosis, it must be the Bible. Plug into the Bible and you will see, and it will diagnose all of your problems. And here, be prepared. The mechanic says, okay, brother, your car is a mess. Here's what you need. You need a new head gasket. Well, I think I'll just change the oil instead and see how it goes. Brother, you need a new head gasket. Well, I can't really fork that out right now, so let's just change the oil, put a new filter on it, and while you're at it, clean the windows, because it was kind of hard to see. Everything will be good. Okay, we'll change the oil. Can I tell you something? You just paid for something you didn't need. You hear me? How often do we try to go around our problems to get them fixed instead of just dealing with the source right now? He told you exactly what's wrong. Here's what's wrong. Let's just use an example. You know, you got it. Let's just say you're at odds with one of your kids, and maybe you've done something to offend them. Maybe you handled a situation out of order. If you're like me, sometimes you get, you know, excited a little bit. Here's what I have a problem with as a dad. My wife is very, very quick to get on to our children. She don't like to prolong it. Me, I have a little bit more patience, at least what I thought I did, but what happens with me is my patience goes and goes and goes, and then boom! Anybody else like that? Listen, can I say something? Dads, listen, that's not right. It's the wrong way to handle it. I've been told that, but if God says, Drew, you've offended your son, and I say, well, that's my son. He doesn't have the right to be offended at me. Can I tell you something? What's the right thing to do? Go say I'm sorry as your dad. Make it right with your son, or go to him and say, son, I don't care if you're offended. I'm your dad. You're going to respect me. Can I tell you something? No, he's not. No, he's not. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, church, we've all got problems. I'm just telling you some of my secrets. And if you'd be honest, all of us have problems. And when God says, hey, I've shown you in my word how to fix your problem. I've diagnosed your problem as pride. Don't be more prideful to try to fix your pride. God giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hey, church, I don't know about you, but would you rather be resisted or would you rather be given grace? Humility creates grace. Self-diagnosis will not work. The problem with self-diagnosis, now catch this, is your standards are too low. Your standards are way too low. What do you mean? I mean, it's easy to justify your own sin. If it weren't, you wouldn't continue in it. It's easy for you to say, well, I didn't really mess up that bad. No one really has to know about that. Can I tell you something? Someone knows about it. And he's far greater than you. And the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You keep on self-diagnosing your sin, and pretty soon you're going to end up like the man we're going to talk about later on this morning, David. Self-diagnostics does not work. Your standards are too low. Your standard has to be perfect. This King James Bible is perfect. It's holy. It's preserved. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's without error. God did not make a mistake when he preserved this word to you and I as English-speaking people. There are no mistakes. Be okay with that. Don't ever think self-diagnostics is the way to go. A Christian must have high, holy, and biblical standards only. I think if you want to be have the fellowship and the joy in your life that you can have, the Bible must be your only standard. It can't be husbands. It can't be what did my wife say? Wife, what did my husband say? By the way, if both of us would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we'd have no problems this way anyways. There would be no he said, she said. No, God said, we agree and we're going to the Lord. That's how it ought to be. That's how the home ought to be. There should never be a time in your home where daddy tells the children something and the children feel comfortable going behind daddy's back and going to mom, thinking that mom's going to tell them something different. Likewise, dad, there should never, ever be a time that you tell that your children come to you and say, well, mom said no, but what do you think? Hey, you know what we try to enforce in our home is this. Don't ever come to me and ask me something that your mom's already told you no about. Because guess what? I'm going to agree with her. Whether in my mind I disagree or not, I'm not going to go against what she says. And guess what? She does the same for me. Do benevolence. Agree in your homes, number one. Listen, this is kind of off subject, but the kids don't run the home. Everybody okay with that? They live with you. You do not live with them. They do not dictate what you do. You dictate what they do. But God dictates what you guys do. I just wanted to throw that out there. Low standards, hear me out. Low standards result in very high acceptance. I'll give you an example. In our country right now, and I'm not trying to offend anyone. I have people in my own distant family that have fallen into this sin of homosexuality, and I'm not happy of it. I love them. I don't hate them. I do not agree with them. But can I tell you, when I was growing up, I can remember TV shows. You know, now you can't even turn the TV on without seeing it. It's everywhere. I mean, unless you're watching a football game or a baseball game or something like that, don't even get interested in a show because it's coming. They're going to throw them in there one way or another. But listen, back in the late 90s, 2000s, when we saw somebody like that, what did we do? Honestly, we laughed at them, right? It was funny. Oh, look at those guys. They're just two guys hugging, kissing. We laughed. Can I tell you something? What you laugh at today, you'll accept tomorrow. Think about it. We laughed back in the 90s and the early 2000s when they were slowly creeping into national media, getting into our television shows. Guys, it's in cartoons. It's in Disney. I mean, it's everywhere. And you can't run from it. But we used to laugh at it, and now churches are separating because pastors won't marry them. Hello? Where have we come? I'll tell you where we've come. Self-diagnostics created some pretty low standards and some really high acceptance rates of sin. We as a church must let God be true. And understand, listen, let me just throw this in there. God loves that homosexual just as much as he loves this preacher. The same Jesus died for that homosexual that died for this preacher. The same blood, I'm going to throw it out there, is capable of saving and transforming that homosexual just like it did this preacher. That blood is all powerful. Church, we got to pray for our country. We need to be praying for that. You know, something like 10 million babies were aborted in the United States last year. And that's probably a low number. I don't know how many were born. But can I tell you something? When we're killing and murdering 10 million of God's babies, the only good thing that came out of that was those babies are in heaven. We got to wake up, church. You start hanging out with Jesus, you will have something or someone worth comparing to. What do you mean? I mean, hey, if Jesus is your best friend is someone that you want to wake up to. I mean, I love waking up and seeing that my wife is there. I'll be honest, I love in the morning before I go to work, I like to walk to each one of my kids' rooms. I don't wake them up, but you know what I like to see? Some of them I can hear, but I like to see their little chests going up and down. Because what does that mean? That means God's given me another day to be their daddy. I look over and I see my wife. I don't wake her up. She sleeps in a little past me, and she gets up and gets the kids ready to go. But listen, what I really like is after I make sure they're okay, I go in, I turn my coffee on, and I always leave work a little bit early, and I spend about 15 minutes in my truck every morning just opening the Bible and just reading the Bible. It's not a lot of time before I have to go in. But I love the fellowship with the Lord. I love being able to open. I try to read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverbs a day. I try to read through the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs every single month. There's 150 Psalms. If you read 5 a day, you can get through it in a month. And I love what God can show me in just that 15 or 20 minutes of time. But what if I slept in a little bit longer? What if I appealed to my flesh and said, and my flesh appealed to me and said, Drew, you know, you're tired. You could sleep 15 more minutes. I could, but then I'd be missing that fellowship with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but my day goes a whole lot better when I start it with Jesus. Hey, you ever went to church and just felt like Jesus wasn't here? I don't know about you, but I just assume God's home when we go to his house. You desire that fellowship, he'll be here. How can I fix this fellowship? Well, there must be a declaration of forgiveness. You remember the prodigal? Whenever, at the beginning of that story, the daddy gave, if you can do your research for yourself, the daddy gave both of those boys their inheritance at the beginning of that story, not just one of them. He didn't just give the prodigal's inheritance away, he gave them both. The one boy stayed home, he worked for his daddy, he had a pretty good life. The other boy went off into a far country and wasted his inheritance with riotous living. Ended up in a pig pen. Can I tell you something, mamas, daddies? I've watched over the years parents bail their kids out. As they're just about to head into the pig pen, mom and daddy steps in and gives them some more money and gives them some more stuff and pays their rent and pays their car payment and does this and does that, and all of a sudden the boy is 1 foot in the pen and now he's over here again, but he hasn't learned a thing. Nothing. You're not helping your children. You're hindering them. But this boy, he looks up, and after he's eating, by the way, after the pigs are done eating, not with the pigs, after them, he's eating everything he can just to stay alive. He finally comes to his senses, and there's a daddy back home, and he starts thinking about him. Oh, what a picture of Jesus, by the way. He thinks, there are servants of my father living a better life than I am right now. I got one option. I need to go to my father. And guess what? Just like Jesus, that boy comes walking down the road, and that father's there with open arms. Let me ask you something, young man, young lady, elder man, elder lady. Listen, why would you let the devil lie to you and think and tell you that you've gone too far, that Jesus will not accept you back? He wants you back. He will take you back with open arms. What'd that daddy do? Say, son, no, 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 no. I told you if you left, you were never coming back. You know what that daddy did? He said, hey, go kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. My son is coming home. He was happy. He was thankful. He forgave him. There must be a declaration of forgiveness. And by the way, lastly, confession is a requirement of fellowship. Confess our faults one to another. Listen, when I don't mean you have to go tell everybody your wrongs, but let me tell you this. You ought to admit to God when he says you're wrong. You ought to say, you know what, God? You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. I wonder this morning, first of all, how's your joy? And second of all, how's your fellowship with the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this Sunday school hour. Thank you for allowing us to open up your word. God, how good it is to be able to look out and see believers, men and women, moms and dads, husbands and wives, God, that want and desire your relationship. God, I pray this morning now as we go into this next hour, you'll meet with us. God, give us safety as we travel back home. And Lord, we'll be careful to honor and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.